So there's been a lot of statements about truth. I mean, even throughout all the media and the churches, and I've just been thinking about that subject. And so today, the title is "What is Truth?" So Father, I just ask that what you have given me here in the scriptures, that you would, as Crystal said, let them go deep in our hearts, Lord, because truth is necessary. Truth is so necessary in the days that we're living in. And so I just ask you come now and be with us and be with me in Jesus' name. All right, let's turn to John chapter 18. Starting in verse 28. Now, Jesus had already been arrested. He had already seen Caiaphas, and then before that, his father-in-law. And now he's being passed on to Pilate. So, verse 28. Okay, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. And it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to them, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." And that was to fulfill the word of Jesus, which he spoke, signifying what kind of death he was about to die. Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium, summoned Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? You, your own nation and chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born. For this I come to the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Excuse me. So right there we see Jesus' mission. His mission was to come and to reveal the truth to the world. So if we go back a little while in John 14, let's go to John 14 next. And this will be a familiar scripture. John 14, starting in verse 2. "In my Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would not have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." If you have known me, you would have known my Father. My Father also, and from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So what Pilate didn't understand was that truth was standing in front of him. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. And so whatever Jesus does and says, however he acts, is the truth. Now we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and starting in verse 11. Now the writer of Hebrews was speaking to the Jewish people here, and he mentions a priest called Melchizedek. And he says, concerning him, we have much to say, as it is hard to explain. This is verse 11, I'm sorry. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, my understanding of this passage is that milk is the elementary principles of the oracle of God, are the words of the gospel. And we'll see that in the next section of scriptures. If one would... we are sinners. Under the Hebrew law, an animal sacrifice was needed to atone for sin. If one would sin again, another sacrifice was needed, and on it went. When Jesus came, he said he came to fulfill the law. He would be the ultimate sacrifice for all past, present, and future sins. He also told his disciples that although he was leaving, he would send the Spirit of truth to them and lead them and guide them in truth. This was the beginning of the new covenant. My understanding is solid food is needed for the rest of our life's journey as we learn the truth of our wrong decisions, turn from them, and eventually are able to do the same. Does that make sense? So now look, let's go to chapter 6 in Hebrews. It says, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from the dead works, and of faith toward God, of instructions about washing, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. I don't want to go too far here. And we will do this if God permits, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify themselves to the Son and put him to open shame. So to me, what they're explaining here, the elementary principles, is repentance, and that's our first thing about the gospel, is that we learn that we're sinners and we're turning from our dead works. and we're turning toward faith in God. Instructions about washings, to me, that points to our baptism, right? The cleansing of our sinful human nature, the laying on of hands. That's where we see the laying on of hands and the impartation of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Those are just what, I mean, that's what is usually being presented, is that we are going someplace and God's going to return again. And so those are the basic concept, but there's more that goes on. And the writers here are here saying, basically, you need to move on and not forget about those things, but we need to move on and get and begin to eat solid food. So I just was thinking about myself growing up, and there's one part of when I was growing up I really did not remember or understand, and that's when I was an infant, right? I had no clue who I was. I had no clue where I was. And I have no memory of that, but I cried when my diapers were wet. I cried when I was hungry. I cried when I was lonely. I cried when I was hurt, or I cried when my siblings took my toys. And that was my life. I just cried about everything, right? And that's what an infant does. He has no understanding of the maturing into a man and having responsibilities and going in that direction. And as all of you have experienced, I'm sure yourselves, is as we move on in life, we begin to learn facts of life, right? Oh, I learned the fact that I'm a boy and I have a sister and I have a mom and I have a dad and we live in a house, you know, and so I begin to understand that. Then I start going to school, elementary school, and I begin to learn other facts about reading and writing and history and all that stuff I didn't want to learn about. I wanted to do other things. And I could sit here and go on and on, because I really, one of the things I like to do is I like to work with my hands. And so I began to learn to build things. I build tree forts. I built above-ground forts. I built underground forts. I built bicycles with motors on them. And anybody know what a skimboard is? That's a Long Island thing. It's a big board sometimes. They used to be round, but we made elongated ones. And when the wave breaks on the sand, wave comes in, there's like this little thin layer of water, and that's when you throw the board on it and you hop on it and you skim along the sand. It's really fun, but you have to know how to do it in the right time and all that stuff. That's what I like to do. I like to body surf too. And so I learned all these things. But you know, with all of that, I really didn't know any truth. I didn't. I was saying, do this, don't do that. But those were just facts, do this or don't do that. It wasn't like, what is truth? So to me, just as we are babies physically and spiritually, it's basically the same thing. When I first came into the kingdom, I had no idea what that meant. I mean, something happened. I heard this message. And I knew about Jesus. I really didn't know him. But something happened in my heart, and I knew something was real. I couldn't prove it, but something was real. And even as an infant, we know one fact that is true. I'm alive. Right? I mean, and so when I came to Christ, it was the same thing. So what the writer here is, he's paralleling that concept between our physical life growing up and the spiritual life. And he's saying in our spiritual life, there's a place where we just need to suck on a bottle. And that has to do with when we first got saved. When we first got saved, everything starts to like like all these things start happening and we just, oh, wow, that. And, oh, what's the question to this? Oh, well, there's an answer for that. And like I start learning things because God is teaching me. And I had to unlearn my whole life. Whereas a child, I had to learn my whole life. Now I'm having to unlearn my whole life, in a sense, or throw away my whole life and start all over because I am what? Born again. Just because we have facts, it doesn't mean we have the truth. So I'm going to just reread what I just told you, okay? The writer is paralleling the physical growth of a person as compared to the spiritual growth of one who believes in Jesus and is following him. Our salvation is our infancy. And we were born again in both cases. The physical and the spiritual. We are basically clueless of what has taken place. But we do know one truth, we are alive. And the exhortation for us is not to neglect the continuing education, right, of the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us to discern the truth of both good and evil, which will lead and keep us out of diapers. If we don't do that, if we don't recognize that God has given us a Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in truth, then we're going to miss it. We may have had an experience with Jesus, and he's basically warning them. He says, you could walk away from this. You need to learn and discern good and evil. We need to do that. And he said that's what solid food is. It's so that we, through the Holy Spirit, we begin to discern that which is good and that which is not good, and we begin to separate it, and we take the things that are good and we embrace that, and the things that are bad, we throw them away. In John, it says, John 14:16-17, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, that is, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be with you. Back to Hebrews, verse 9. And so here the writer again is filling us in with a little more information. But beloved, we were convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name and having ministered in the ministry of the saints. And we desire that each one of you will show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope in the end. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those through whom faith and patience inherit the promises. So here he's warning them that if we don't embrace the Holy Spirit and receiving the things that he has for us to lead us and guide us into those things, we're going to become sluggish and we're going to have a tendency to just drift away from the truth. And we will wind up walking in darkness. Still with me? Good. All right, now turn back in Hebrews chapter 5. Now just remember, I started with Jesus being with Pilate, where the Jewish leaders, even the high priest, was condemning him to death. These were the priests. And so I'm going to read you this section. And to me, this section is telling us how the high priest was to present himself. Okay? For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifice for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and the misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses, and because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people, so also for himself. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Just as it says in another passage, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." You know, that was to be the posture of the high priests. They were sacrificing these animals on the sake of the people around them, sacrificing for their own sins, and it told them how they needed to behave toward those who were lower than them, so to speak. And that's the exact posture that Jesus took. And he wasn't even a high priest according to the Levitical laws. He was a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And that's why the writer is saying, I don't think you're going to understand this because you're still sucking on milk. You're still in diapers. In the flesh we were born and have grown up. Quite a bit for some of us here, right? We've hopefully grown up a little bit here. I'm 70 years old. I hope I grew up a little bit. We responded in faith. Well, let me see what I say. And somewhere in the section of this time of our lives, right, we responded in faith and became born again. And after receiving the Holy Spirit, we began to discern good and evil, leading us in truth. We now, as priests to God, offer ourselves a living, holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Not for sins, but for our service and appreciation to God himself, for offering himself for the propitiation of our sins, so that we might be used to gently engage with the ignorant and the misguided, because we know the place from where we came. And that was supposed to be the posture of these priests who were sentencing Jesus to death. And that's the posture that we now have as priests, right? Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, in the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living, holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's not for atoning for sins. We're giving ourselves, we're laying our life down as Jesus did in gratitude. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Back to John 18. We're going to go back to the scene with Pilate. Okay, here we go. Ready? This is big. This is really big. We're going to start in chapter 18, verse 37, and I'm going to read on, okay? Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said that, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him." Guess what? He discerned some truth. "But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the King of the Jews?" So they cried out again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And now Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head, put a purple robe on him, and they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him slaps on the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Jesus then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered, "We have a law, and by that law, he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me. Do you know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus said, You would have no authority over me unless it has been given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." This is big. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews were crying out, "If you release the man, you are no friend of Caesar, for everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." Now, wait a second. We'll talk about that in a second. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out, sat him down on the judgment seat, at a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." So they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Wow. Now this is what Jesus just did. Here was Jesus being presented in the front of the political and religious systems of his day. Both were corrupted. And the one who they both needed, together they were putting him to death. And because of Jesus' posture before them, all of the truth was being exposed. The intertwining of the religious and the political system, the hearts of those whom Jesus exposed earlier on, and even the hearts of his own disciples, all the while validating who Jesus is by the fulfillment of prophecy. This is a powerful, powerful moment. Jesus didn't fight. He didn't debate. He just answered their questions, and he answered them with the truth. And in silencing them, the truth really came out. We have no king but Caesar. Wow. And all the things that Jesus said, you hypocrites, you blind guides, full of robbery, self-indulgence, whitewashed tombs. Inside, you're full of dead men's bones. He was just like, bam, bam, bam. And they're like, they're enraged. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we have been living in the days of our fathers, we would have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourself that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. It was all being exposed in that one moment. And we were called to do the same. We were called to stand for truth. We were called to live the truth. And Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. He even said, they're going to kill some of you. And that's not to put fear in us. That's not to preach doom and gloom. It's to preach the truth. But it's also for us to continue to discern and grow in maturity to discern the truth. Because we in our own country, someone may disagree with me, but there's been a merging of the political and the church right here in our nation. There's been this merging. And we have to be very careful about what is being said. Is it really reflecting the truth? That's where we need to discern, right? We're not following a political system. We're not following a religious system. We are following the King of Kings. And that King of Kings is alive in those who have received his Holy Spirit. He will lead us and guide us in truth, not our government. And I'm talking about every government in the world, every religious system. It has to be him. And so we need to discern that. And as we do discern, now God will, he will lead us and guide us in truth. That's what he said the Holy Spirit has given us to do. And so as we learn and discern the truth, we can then begin to multiply. We're called to multiply, right? Just like families. We grow up, we're little babies, we grow into men and women, and we have babies, right? That's what God said. Be fruitful and multiply. And we are, as a church, we are supposed to be, that's the apostolic call, right? We grow up to the place where we send out and we bring the gospel and we raise up other new babies, born again people, and we teach them and we instruct them and we give them the truth and that they take the truth and the truth goes on. John chapter 1, starting in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this is he whom I said, He who comes after me is higher ranked than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. What happened on the cross exposed the truth. Colossians 1:4-7, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard of the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world also is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also in the day you have heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you've learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. See that apostolic process. It was being passed on. So, this ends part one. Lord willing, part two will be next week. But Father, I just ask that you would help us to discern good and evil. Lord, there's so many voices out there. And there's so many things that they're giving good facts, but they may not be presenting the truth. Because the facts don't necessarily mean it's the truth. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. So that we may walk in a manner worthy of you and to please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, to be strengthened with all power for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance in the saints in light. Thank you, Lord. Amen.